How would you like to stop leaking money and add millions in profit to your business and discover how 7- and 8-figure businesses unlock hidden profit with scalable systems? We have today Emma Rainville, and she's the Wizard of Ops, and she'll tell us how exactly we can do this. And what's so special about Emma Rainville is that she's an operational genius and business growth strategist who helps 7- and 8-figure companies unlock hidden profit margins and scale without chaos. So Emma, tell us more about how can companies stop leaking money and add millions in profit.
Welcome to Awakened Titans Podcast with Lily Patrescu. Mind-blowing conversations with influential business titans sharing how you can manifest abundance, love, joy, success through quantum awakening, quantum manifestation, quantum healing, quantum miracles, exponential business growth, and innovative products and services.
Sure. That's a really big question. But the first thing I would say is to have an operational framework by which your company lives, breathes, and grows so that you can scale and you can be profitable without creating the fires and chaos that most business owners have to deal with.
Tell us more.
Sure. So at Shockwave, for our clients, we tend to create two frameworks for our clients. The first one being a foundational framework. We call that WAVE. It's written vision, your absolute focus, values-driven future, and an execution plan for your written vision.
Thank you.
And then we have an operational framework by which the business continuously operates. And that's called SCOPE, which is setting your vision, core processes, operational excellence, people development, and your execution and communications plan.
Thank you. So tell us, where do companies leak money? Is it a place where they're not expecting to leak money?
I've seen companies leak money from every orifice that you can possibly can, from not creating good supply chain on their products, to not having great systems reviewing their marketing spend and traffic spend, to just not watching their subscription plans and seeing where their expenses are. That being said, the majority of businesses that are leaking money are leaking it on unused labor and untapped resources. And so a lot of times people feel like they don't have enough people, and it's because they don't have enough structure, and they've thrown problems at what they should have thrown processes. They've thrown people at problems that they should have thrown process to first. And so that's the majority of where I really see people leaking money that can be fixed quickly.
Thank you. So is the problem that people and resources are underutilized? And is it mainly because there is no process that they are following, and therefore they're just like inventing most of the time? They're just making stuff up as they go along, and they just do the best that they possibly can without a standard operating procedure. And because of that, a lot of time gets wasted. Or is it something else?
It's kind of what you said. So it's when we're underutilizing our people because we don't have a proper plan, a strategic plan in place, or because we don't stick to the plan, or are constantly chasing shiny objects. That's kind of where our sweet spot is at Shockwave, and where we find the most misuse of resources and labor. But I mean, it's visionary entrepreneurs, we all see shiny objects and opportunity everywhere. And so a lot of times those shiny objects become wrenches that we're throwing at our people.
Thank you. So what's the solution? Imagine that, first of all, like, how do we even know which standard operating procedure we should be using to make it really efficient and optimized?
Okay. So when I'm looking at an issue, a problem within a business, the first thing I want to do is create a process by which to solve that issue, right? So let's say it's creating an operating procedure to assess your traffic spend to make sure that your dollars out are creating more dollars in. You would sit down with the person doing the job. The first thing you want to understand is the objective. What are you trying to accomplish, right? And so then you work backwards from there. Here's our objective. Here's what we're trying to accomplish. And here's the steps by which we at our company, no matter who's doing this job, does the exact task. And then I get feedback. I generally like to get feedback from other people on the team who have done the job or who have a lot of experience in doing it, and kind of see where they think the most efficient ways are. And then as a team, we generally review everything about every 6 months. We've actually been doing it a little more often with AI and all the things that have changed in recent weeks and months. We are reviewing them a little more closely, less time in between, because everything's changing so rapidly. But we just want to know, like, where are we spending too much time? What can we automate? What can we just not do anymore? What can we delegate? And what can we make more efficient? And we're always asking those questions. But as far as how do you start with an operating procedure, you start with what is the outcome I'm trying to accomplish, and then you write the steps to get there, and you constantly refine it.
Thank you. So is it the team generally that comes up with a combined solution towards creating an optimized process for getting there?
It really depends, right? So if generally speaking, it's the person who's doing the job, and then the person they directly report to is overseeing it. That's generally speaking. But when we're talking about bigger, more important processes like refining our marketing campaigns, we would want input from multiple sources, from the people who are actually pushing the buttons all the way to our finance department, who understands what the back end is being, what's being delivered on the back end.
Thank you. Now imagine that I hire a person and then I give them a certain strategy for doing something. And then with time they learn how to do it. And then with time, I will keep optimizing. Let's say every few days or every week I will come up with, oh, also add this, also add this. How do you make sure that you log that into a standard operating procedure so that everything that the company staff knows is kind of systemized? Because let's say at the moment, let's say only Pedro, who's doing the job, he knows how to do it. But if he leaves, then there's nobody to actually...
Well, that's why you need standard operating procedures, right? So the first thing is, you said every few days or every week. That's way too often to be reviewing how you do a process. You're spending way too much time reviewing and less time doing. So again, I would suggest 3 to 6 months you want to refine processes to make them better. The person who's doing the job is the best person to determine when we should look at that. And so you should be training your higher management to be talking to their people on, what are you spending the most amount of your time on? Do you think that if you had other resources, you could be doing it faster? The amount of times that someone saved $40 on a tool that would have saved 80 hours a month in labor is mind-blowing to me. So, you know, looking through what's available and just making sure that you're not looking at them too often, but also looking at them often enough. You don't want to be changing how we do things every few days, for sure.
Thank you. And what's the best way to record those standard operating procedures? So that, sure. Because like there's so many tasks that need to be done, to be done. And then if you're optimizing them with time, you're adding certain elements to it, then how do you make sure that the operating procedures are actually updated?
So we actually call ours a knowledge center. I've known people to call them knowledge Bibles. I've known people to call them SOP decks. You can call it whatever you want. We tend to keep them in Google Drive and on ClickUp. So on ClickUp, every department has a section, and then the task has the, you know, regular tasks weekly, daily, weekly, monthly, quarterly, and yearly. And then we have a link to the Google Doc that is the SOP. The SOP at the very top says when it was created, when it was last updated, who created it, and who last updated it. And so that's how we keep track.
Thank you. How long does it take for someone For let's say you're starting to work with a company, how long does it take you to figure out where the leaks are in that particular company? Do you go through your standard operating procedures of, let's say, the 7 different steps that you're looking at? And then how long from there does it take to figure out, okay, where are the, where?
Sure. So what we do at Shockwave, first of all, is we don't try and change anything until we understand how everything works. So we start with something called a strategic operational blueprint. And we go through every department, every person, everything in the business from sales to delivery, and then retention. And we just review where the company is at to, as a starting base. I would never use my SOPs for someone else's company, because every company, every product, every customer base, every demographic is different. So I wouldn't just throw, I have a 15-day refund policy. That's it. I'm serving high ticket, high level businesses. I wouldn't put that to someone serving a customer base on supplements. I would give them a 90 or 120 day, right? So you have to think through what you're selling, who you're selling it to, what your demographic is, and also what is the avatar of the person who works for you before you go and create these systems and processes and standardizations for your business. It should be outlined not with industry standard in mind, but not for industry standard. It should be optimized for you, for your business. That's why we became business owners, so that we could make the rules.
Thank you. Tell me more about the blueprint of how to stop leaking money and add millions. What are the commandments? Tell me more, like more in depth about what other things should the entrepreneurs look at?
So I don't like to use things like rules or commandments. I didn't create a business so that I had a job and a fancy title. I created a business for freedom. And so I really like to use things like best practices and our way, but it goes back to those fundamentals, creating a foundational system, a foundational framework for my business so that I understand what we're doing, who we're doing it for, and why we're doing it, and who I'm doing it with. Like, those questions are important questions to answer. And when I have those answers, I can make better decisions. And then I need that operational framework, which is, how do I serve the people that I serve? What do I serve them with? And who am I serving them with? What people do I have on my team? And how are we constantly raising the bar operationally for the client, for their customer base?
Thank you. Do you have any shocking case studies of, let's say, 7 and 8-figure businesses who are making a lot of money but not keeping a lot because they were losing it in just one area or a couple of areas that they were not expecting? And if yes, can you share 3 case studies with us?
Sure. All of our clients have that problem. All of our clients are able to bring in millions, but they're unable to keep them, which is why they bring us on. We're not a cost-effective option. We're an expensive option, but we're an important element because we show them how to create profits. So the first one I'll talk about, we took a company from 8% profit margin to 24 in a matter of a few months. And that was basically just understanding what the business was trying to accomplish. So when we asked them, what is your value proposition? They were unable to define that. And that one simple thing caused them to create a lot of bad decisions on the employee level, because these people, they had a $15 million business, and these people had no idea how to run this business because they didn't know why they were there. They were there to push the buttons that they were told to push. But besides that, they had no clue what the company was trying to accomplish. So that was the first one. The next one, also a $15 million company, we took them to $200 million in 2 years. And we did that almost the same thing by just defining what we were, who we were serving, and what we were serving them. And so once we did that, we were able to just be able to say no to a lot of things. The visionary entrepreneur that owned the company had a lot of ideas. And before they could ever execute on a product or a funnel or anything like that, he would come in and say, now we're going to do this, or now we're going to do that, and now we're going to constantly throwing wrenches at the staff. So they never finished one project before they started the next project. So everything was half done and a mess. And they had zero systems, 28 people working for the company. We brought that down to 8 people over about 3 months, and we scaled to 200 million, adding 3 more people along the way. We added quite a bit of revenue to the business just by understanding what our focus is. And the last one I'll mention is a big guru marketer in the space was bringing in loads of money, but spending far more of it in servicing people. And that's because there wasn't a lot of thought around the products and services that he was selling. So he would get on and he would just talk until people bought. So he would get on these webinars and he would say, okay, this is what we're going to sell you now. We worked with him for a year, a couple of years ago. And he would literally just keep adding to the product until he made several thousand dollars in several hundred thousand dollars in sales. And so we'd hit like 600,000 or 700,000, and then that was the offer, and he'd keep talking and sell the offer. The problem was is he didn't understand the cogs that were going into it. So he was promising all these things, you know, to these people, and these things that were delivered to them had a price tag to them. And it was just, what do I say to get people to buy? But he didn't price it right because he didn't think through it. And so just making him sit down and think through it before he went and sold was massive for him. And so he went from filing bankruptcy the week he hired us and like hiding his cars from being repossessed to a year later when we left, we replaced ourselves with a full-time COO. But when we left, his profit margin was a healthy 28%. He had 5 different products and services that he was selling. One demographic, we made sure we held on to that one demographic because he had a massive following. And, you know, things got a lot easier for him because he knew how to make the money. He just had no idea how to keep it.
Thank you. So tell us, why did that make a difference for these 3 case study businesses that you gave?
Exactly why I said when I broke them down, it was just refining, having a plan, and sticking to the plan.
Thank you. And what about in your business? Was it that you also followed the same sort of like strategy of looking at your own business in the same way that you're following the plan for other businesses?
No, I'm going to do the one thing that no one ever does, and that's tell the truth. I have no ability to do it myself. I was literally on the phone with my team today, and I was saying like the shoemaker's kids have no shoes. We get so enthralled in our clients' businesses, we don't spend enough time on our own. So I try to. I certainly try to. But, you know, it is one of those things where we do so well for our clients, and then when it comes to ourselves, we're like, oh, wait a minute, we're not doing this for our own business, and we're not doing that, and we're not doing this. It's just so funny how that seems to be the case, I think, for all of us. And if we're being honest, that's pretty much where all of us land.
Thank you. For those creative entrepreneurs, like the one that you mentioned, that let's say come up with different ideas all the time about, okay, we should try this and we should try the other, and then everything is like half finished. What do you recommend for creative entrepreneurs to do so that they make more money in general and stop leaking money? Do you recommend that they focus on launching something specific and finishing that fully and then kind of moving on to the next rather than like trying to launch too many products at the same time?
Yeah, I think that's what I started with. It's the frameworks that we talked about earlier, having those frameworks.
Thank you. Tell us, what else would you like to share to entrepreneurs who want to stop leaking money and add millions in profit?
Yeah, it's just going to go back to that. Have a proper plan, have a foundational framework, have a operational framework, have a understanding of how to create goals for your business and how to hand them to your team to accomplish, and then making sure that we're allowing them to accomplish their goals before we come in and throw wrenches at them.
Thank you. For that case study of the company that, let's say, was making a lot of money but had no idea what the company was trying to accomplish, how Why did knowing what the company was trying to accomplish, why did that make a difference?
Okay. So for starters, if I know what I'm trying to accomplish, I can get there way faster. I'm not making bad decisions. Other people can make decisions. I'm no longer the bottleneck. And when we know who we're serving and what we're serving, our messaging is so much easier. So it kind of just, organizations need to understand the outcome that they're trying to accomplish, and then they need to work backwards from that and understand the details of delivery so that they can deliver properly.
Thank you. Tell us where entrepreneurs can connect with you.
Sure. So I'm on Facebook, I'm on Instagram, I'm on LinkedIn, but I also have my company website, which is shockwavesolutionsllc.com. Additionally, we have something called the Visionary Vault. It is a free resource. I never try and sell anyone anything there. We just really, really love operations and we love direct response and e-commerce. So we have tons of free courses and free checklists in there. And that's going to be at specialopspodcast.com. And you can just sign up for our Visionary Vault. Again, it's totally free. We never try and sell anybody anything. There's lots of free resources in there.
Thank you. And one last thing. Tell us, how did you start helping companies become profitable or more profitable?
So I was a COO for a company in the direct response space for a really long time. And I had a friend, Travis Gomez, who initially partnered with me at Shockwave, and we would go to conferences together and we would sit and we would just like laugh to each other. These people would come to us and be like, I have this problem, or I have that problem, or, you know, I'm doing 8 million, but I'm spending 8.2. And we were able in, you know, a half hour and a bunch of questions, able to identify the issue and then know how to fix the problem, but you can't teach someone that, right? So we just, at some point we were just like, man, like we should do this for people. We should come in and consult with people and become their fractional COO and help them, you know, keep some of their money.
Thank you. And what are the biggest mistakes that you've seen entrepreneurs make when it comes to creating profitable businesses?
Not having a plan, not having the plan in place, and just moving to move without intentionality.
And not having the Wizard of Ops as part of their strategic team as well, isn't it?
Or a Wizard of Ops. You know, I'm not the has-all be-all for sure, but yes, exactly.
Perfect. Thank you.
Follow us for more interviews with world's most influential business titans, providing you with the insights to awaken to your full potential so you can get paid to be yourself, find true happiness, and manifest anything you desire.